Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Perfect Franchise Podcast. I'm Chris Simonich, and my co-host is Andrea Floyd. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you. Good to see you.
On the Perfect Franchise Podcast, we attempt to deconstruct best practices from some of the highest performing professionals in our industry. And today, we've got one of those high performers. We've got Tom Woods from Floor Coverings International. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Welcome. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah.
Great to have you.
It's awesome. We're really excited to learn more about you, Tom. And let's start there. Tell us a little bit about your background and how did you get involved in the floor business?
Oh, absolutely. So I actually got started back when I was a college student in Boston, way back in the mid-1980s. I'm going to go ahead and date myself right off the bat. But I was a student at Boston University, was looking for a summer job that paid the most amount of money, because those of us in college back in the 80s generally had to pay our own way through, as some people will remember. And I actually got introduced to one of our sister companies that was in the painting industry. It was a franchise organization, way back early days of home improvement franchising. So I got started back in the mid-80s, realized that the home improvement industry and franchising, even though I wasn't looking for it, was a very lucrative and really excellent way to get started in business. And that kind of launched my entrepreneurial career. So I started back in the mid-80s with College Pro Painters. A few years later, I was one of the co-founders of a company called Serta Pro Painters that many people certainly will know in the painting industry. And then from there, we acquired Floor Coverings International in the early 2000s, and I've been leading Floor Coverings International since 2005.
That's great. That's great. Long run there in the home service space.
So, Tom, before we talk specifically about floor coverings, you know, what are you seeing, you know, since 2005 to now 2024, where we are today? What are you seeing as the trends in the home services industry in general?
Yeah, well, I think the place that I would start with respect to what are the trends in the home improvement industry and then crossing over to the flooring industry is one of the things that I and certainly the people that I'm really fortunate to be able to work with for all these years have really loved about the home improvement industry is that it's a slow and steady performer every single year. And the joke that we like to make when somebody asks us a question of, hey, is the flooring industry a good industry to get into? I'll say, hey, look underneath your feet. Is there a floor there? And they say, yes. And I'll say, okay, when was the last time you weren't walking on a floor when you were in somebody's property or a building? And then, of course, they laugh and understand, you know, what we're getting to. Home improvement industry doesn't generally have big swings up or big swings down. Every single year, it is a steady growth industry. So that's what we have really, really enjoyed about the flooring industry and the home improvement industry. Somebody that's looking to get into a business and they are looking for something that they can really count on. This industry is not going to go away. I'll be able to build a business. And as I invest into my business, I can look at this as a secure investment that I should be able to compound whatever I put into it. Home improvement and flooring is certainly an excellent opportunity to consider.
So, you know, and we talk about this all the time with the Perfect Franchise, where we are partial to what a lot of people might consider to be quote unquote boring businesses, right?
Sure.
People don't hear flooring and think it's the sexiest or most glamorous industry. But as you said, there's a floor underneath everybody's feet.
Gotcha.
On the flip side though, you know, when you say, hey, we do flooring, I think a lot of people can be tempted to think, oh, flooring, I know what that is. I know what you do. And yet floor coverings is doing a lot of things in the industry a little bit differently. Can you talk a little bit about some of the operational efficiencies that differentiate you from the competition?
Sure, absolutely. So right to that point, I agree with you. When somebody thinks about flooring or nearly anything in the home improvement industry, you're not going to think anything that's differentiated. Because right off the top of your head, how can I differentiate a business that's in the flooring industry or differentiate a business that's in the window treatment or the painting or the roofing or the HVAC? It's very, very difficult. So where most businesses go to then is, well, if I'm going to compete in this industry, and I'm going to gain market share, my best methodology to do that is to compete on price. And that's where most home improvement businesses will go. And that's where most of our competitors will go. But of course, we all know the lasting businesses that over time are going to be able to gain their market share, get a brand awareness, get an endearing group of customers that are raving supporters of your business. You have to find a way to differentiate that really brings a value add to those consumers that is going to be separated from most of the consumers. And that's what we have really spent our time doing. So here at Floor Coverings International, what we have long since known is we won't be able to differentiate on the product line, because it's an enormous industry and all of the products come from essentially the same places. We're not going to be able to differentiate on the install side of the business. Now, we can do a better job of the install, but a floor gets installed exactly the same way, regardless of which house you're putting it in or something like that. The way that we're going to be able to differentiate is how we work with the consumer, how we help that consumer be able to choose what's going to be best to put into their home, and making the experience one that is going to be lasting and enduring. And I'll share a statistic with you. In the home improvement industry, if you know Net Promoter Score, the average Net Promoter Score in the flooring industry is a 38, which is subpar. If I were going to take that and cross it over to a social media rating, a 38 in a Net Promoter Score is going to equate to about a 2.2 or a 2.3 in social media scores on Google or something like that. The point being is, it's awful. So what that means is, all of us that are homeowners, which I'm sure are most of the people that are listening to this podcast, and I know the two of you and certainly myself, when we think about, I'm going to get my floors done, the first reaction is a shudder down your spine. Because you know that the industry is going to deliver you a poor experience if it is going to be anything like what is happening across the entire industry. What we really went to school with in the early days of Floor Coverings International are, what are the things that drive those low scores? And it's generally not the install, and it's generally not the product. It's how the product offering was brought to the consumer, how the selections were made, and how did we leave the consumer at the end? Meaning, was the job site perfect? Did the customer get those most important things? So we started really at Floor Coverings International with an eye on those things when we put our operating model together.
That's great. I mean, I think, you know, just focusing on the customer and the customer experience and adding that value, you know, that's really where you differentiate. And I think, you know, most of your competition, though, is in sort of that retail, big box, local chain space. How do you sort of compete in that space? And so you're doing it on the experience, but how do you get people to call you versus walking into Lowe's or Home Depot?
Well, I'm going to answer that in two ways, if you don't mind. The first part is, you are our target consumer. Our target consumer is typically the female consumer because of two angles. Number one, likely, and yes, I know that I'm taking this and lumping it into a box, so hopefully I'm not offending anybody, but likely you are going to be thinking the finishes, the colors, the textures, those are the things that are most important to me. It is very difficult to envision when you go into a retail environment what those samples are going to look like when they're in your home. It requires you to have to go to the store, choose some samples, bring them back home and look at them on your own without any consultation, without any coaching, and then to go back and forth. Of course, it's a very laborious process. Now, that's one thing that we can take and solve for the consumer by bringing them directly to you. Now, the second thing is, and this is really our value add, is when we're working with you in your home, we're able to ask you that most important question, which is, what is really going to make this job perfect for you? What is it that you are really looking for? Now, we always get the initial things. I'm looking for the floor to do this, or I'm going to be replacing my children's bedroom, so I need the carpet to last. But then what comes out right after that is, now, let me tell you what you need to know about doing my job. My children come home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I need the front entryway free of dangerous tools and things like that. We have pets. The back gate has to be closed as your workers are coming and going. We need the front entryway cleaned up each day before you leave. The little things that make your property special to you as a homeowner, those are the things that we can learn when we're working with you in your home that when you go to the retail environment and you're standing at the counter, whatever you may even remember to share with them, because certainly they're not going to ask, that is never going to get relayed back to the people that are actually doing the job. Here at Floor Coverings International, because we're meeting with you in your home, we're learning what's most important to you. And then because we are there actually fostering this project through while it's being done, we make sure that those things are delivered. But you also asked me, how do we differentiate ourselves to actually get the opportunity to show you the floors? Yeah. That's where our marketing and advertising is absolutely paramount. Because what we need to do is ensure that we earn the opportunity to come and visit you at your home. Then we have a very high success ratio of landing the work, because the differentiation is very easy to see right from the beginning.
Yeah. I mean, I know in our house, my husband always says, you know, if there's something to pick in the home, I'm going to be the one that makes the final decision. He may be there. He may be involved. So coming right into the environment and being able to see the colors, the lighting, all of that, it seems much better than walking into a big box store. I know that that's something that would, benefit me.
Yep. You think about nearly every other home improvement other than flooring, you're not going to a showroom. They're coming to you and looking at your property and consulting with you. Can you imagine if you had to go to a landscaper's office to describe what trees, shrubs, and flowers you want in your yard, as opposed to the landscaper comes to your home? Well, why would the floor be any different than that?
Yeah. Yep. Really great point.
Tom, I want to backtrack if you know this answer, but you started off talking about the differentiation, talking about how poor the net promoter score is for the industry.
Mm-hmm.
How does yours compare?
Well, the industry average is 38, and I'm really glad that you asked that question. On Monday this week, our 12-month trailing average was an 87.
Wow.
And that 87 puts us in the top 25% of the top 1% of all companies, all industries. That's where our net promoter score sits.
Wow. So not that great at math, but it would not be wrong to say that you're more than twice as good as your competition on average.
Well, it actually is even greater than that. So yes, the score is more than twice as good, but the multiple actually increases as those scores go down.
Wow. Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's a real testament, not only to the operating model, but really it's the quality and the service that our franchise owners bring to the homeowners that are in their community. They do a wonderful job at treating their neighbors like a neighbor and leaving them with a lasting impression. But the other thing is it's a really simple strategy that we have that leads to that very incredibly high customer satisfaction rate that we have. But the devil is in the details. It's the execution. We have to make sure that we are asking what's most important to the customer in the delivery of this floor. But then it's making sure that we communicate and that we are there to remind this to the installers while they're doing the job.
That's great. I mean, I think as you think about all of that piece, and if you mentioned the model, one of the things that I know you really focus on in Floor Covering is an owner-operator model to begin with. Maybe that's the first 6 to 12 months, maybe that's forever, but why is that different? A lot of home services look at that semi-absentee even from the beginning, but you're really focused on having somebody hands-on in the beginning. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, the interesting question is, why do many of our competitors actually focus on an absentee model? And before I give this answer, understand I've been in franchising for 38 years. When we got started in the home improvement industry with College Pro Painters and Serta Pro Painters and California Closets, understand most of the home improvement industry at that time was very, very unsophisticated, and we were not competing against college-educated, well-honed business people like we all do today. So just that's a little bit of context. That's a little bit of my experiential journey. In my experience, most other home improvement franchisors will switch to that absentee owner model because their business doesn't monetize to the level that having a full-time operator can make a great living from the business. We want people engaged in our businesses full-time, number one, because that's really what's required to be a wonderful business in your community like this. But the reality is our business monetizes extremely well for our franchise owners that they don't have a need to go be an absentee owner to get an income stream from something else.
Well, that's an answer.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I like that a lot. So, you know, one of the concerns, I think, for anybody looking at any franchise, and especially looking at home service franchise, is labor, right? You know, and, you know, listen, I've been in franchising 21 years, and finding good people has always been a challenge, right? Yeah. I mean, that was always the key. People believe that today it's harder than ever. That may be true. So how do you help a new franchisee with that? Because I know you said you don't really differentiate an installation, but you can do it better. And so what does it take to do it better?
Sure. And you asked again a question that has multiple layers of an answer. So I hope you don't mind that sometimes I take your question and I really expand it, because what you're going to get from me is blunt transparency. And sometimes blunt transparency needs a little bit more background and context. So I would certainly affirm it is really difficult to find people right now. So the jobs report just came out on Friday. We're back to a 3.8% unemployment. It is not easy to find people. We feel that at our corporate office. Our franchise owners feel that. I know our competitors feel it. Now, let me give you the and the but. All right. So first of all, our business model for a franchise owner to be a $2 million business, which is what we look at to be the floor of franchise owner expectations, that business is 4 full-time people, and that includes the owner. That's the owner, 2 salespeople, which we call them design associates, and an office manager. That is a $2 million business that, again, I'm going to reuse a word I used a moment ago, that monetizes really, really well and brings a great quality of life for our franchise owner. And that's just the starting point. That's the floor. Now, what that doesn't include is the install labor. Now, in the flooring industry, nearly 100% of flooring installs, and certainly here at Floor Coverings International, is done by a subcontracted labor force. And that is a subcontracted labor force that doesn't compete with us on a retail business. All they do is install for retailers like us. It is not a challenge for us to find installers to be able to meet the needs and the growth for our franchise owners. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't have to put time and energy into it. It doesn't mean that we don't have leadership, coaching, direction, and resources to help with that, because of course that we do, but that is not the greatest challenge and the greatest restrainer in our business. For a franchise owner to have a $2 million business, they generally need 1 hardwood install crew, 1 carpet install crew, and then a 3rd and possibly a 4th crew that we call the flex crews that can do a little bit of everything. That is typical.
Wow, that's great. And so Tom, as you talk about who you need 4 employees, you need subcontractors, you're talking about all these different people, and you talk to get to a $2 million business. Do you need to scale the business? Do you need to have 5 territories to get to that point with floor covering? Or what does that look like in order to scale it?
Well, we certainly need to scale. So that is a word that we use very liberally here at Floor Coverings International. But typically, our franchise owners don't need multiple territories. Of course, we have some that do, so I don't want to make it a blanket statement that fits all scenarios. But in most scenarios, 1 franchise territory is going to be more than enough for a franchise owner to get to and exceed $2 million, and then they're going to have a choice of growth paths, which could mean acquiring more territory, but it also could mean moving into commercial work, which is a non-exclusive aspect of our franchise agreement and doesn't require the addition of more territory. But now, here's where this question to me gets really interesting, and that word scaling. Now, if we're looking at a franchise owner that comes into, let's say, the quick serve food industry, something like a Submarine or sandwich shop or something like that. Generally, in order for that franchise owner to scale, to bring that word back again, they're going to have multiple locations, multiple units. As a matter of fact, in most of the sandwich franchises, the typical franchisee is going to own roughly 3 to 5 locations, you know, essentially. And each one of those 3 to 5 locations requires an additional investment on real estate, staff, and finding that actual location. Now, on one hand, our scaling model is no different. On another hand, it's much easier and much less expensive, and I'll explain why. Our franchise owners expand and scale by adding mobile showrooms or the van. essentially. They add a mobile showroom and they add a salesperson to essentially staff that mobile showroom. So essentially, in order for one of our franchise owners to expand, they hire one more person, they bring on one more mobile showroom, but they don't need to outfit a whole new location with more real estate. They don't need to hire a whole new staff. It is a much less expensive and a greater span of control methodology to expand.
So, Tom, based on everything you're saying, what do you need? What do you look for in a new franchisee? What are the qualities? What are the boxes that need to be checked for you to go, yeah, that person's a fit?
Yeah, excellent question. The most important attributes that we need from a franchise owner is, first and foremost, somebody that understands, wraps their mind around, and embraces their primary skill set is sales and marketing. And what I mean by that is they don't actually have to do the sales, but they have to have a sales and marketing mindset, because the way that we grow is continual customer acquisition. It is a marketing framework. It's leading those salespeople. So the $2 million business, for example, it's leading to design associates. It's making sure that the marketing is optimized so that both of those design associates have all of the appointments that they need each and every week. Now, when a franchise owner generally is not being as successful with us, it's generally because they're not super comfortable or embrace the marketing and the sales side of the business. They spend their time on the production side of the business. But ironically, those installers that we hire, that we subcontract to, they are expert professionals. They don't need somebody there to oversee them and make sure that they're installing the floor correctly. They already know how to do it, and they do a great job. Now, they need to make sure that they're communicated with and how to communicate with that customer and work with that customer. But the franchise owners that excel here at Floor Coverings International are the ones that come in and know and understand and are comfortable with this is a sales and marketing role as the franchisor, and that's where my mind needs to be first and foremost.
So because you're hiring those salespeople, someone coming in, you know, as long as they can market the business, operate the business, they can lean on those salespeople if they're not as comfortable with the sales component. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, can they? They should. Okay. Absolutely. You're going to hire people from the flooring industry that already have experience in selling flooring products and working with a customer and setting the right expectations. Just like, for example, if you go into the restaurant industry and franchising, or here, let me use a different example. If you were to go into one of the many haircut franchises, for example, if that new franchisee comes in and thinks, I'm going to train somebody how to cut hair, we're going to have a population of people with bad haircuts. It's no different here at Floor Coverings International. The flooring industry is $100 billion. The best franchise owner is somebody that comes in with a business mind and a business acumen that doesn't try to outthink and outlead the people that are already in the industry that understand flooring and the people already in the industry that understand how to install it. But yet they bring an operating model, they bring a methodology, they bring leadership so that we can then excel in it.
That's great. You know, Tom, I'm going to ask you another question and kind of throw this out, because this came up on a call with one of my clients that was looking at floor covering about sort of reoccurring revenue and getting customers back, and then also partnerships with, you know, local businesses, whether it's restoration or something else. How is that working at Floor Covering?
Well, you brought it right into the right place. So again, if I were to repeat, if the franchise owner is sales and marketing minded, they're really thinking about that exact question. Where do I get the recurring revenues that really do help drive and grow this business? So a vast majority of our mature franchisees get roughly 40 to 60% of their business from what we would call recurring. And that recurring would be either word of mouth, because people know them in the community because they've been working for the neighbors and in the neighborhoods and things like that. But even more specifically, it does come from those other businesses. And you just mentioned one of our biggest one, restoration contractors, but then also kitchen and bath remodelers and things of that nature that are always working in a customer's home in an associated trade that then there needs to be flooring. So where our franchise owners then spend their time that are moving into those verticals is out meeting and introducing themselves to the restoration contractors in their marketplace, meeting and introducing themselves to the kitchen and bath remodelers and things of that nature, and making sure that they know who the highest rated flooring company is in North America that is available to work with them. And we are very, very competitive.
You're right.
So Tom, you mentioned just one territory. You know, I would think that you would want the territory plus some protected area. So maybe two territories. What do you mean by one territory?
That's a great question. And I'm glad that you asked that and gave me this opportunity just to clarify. So for us, when I'm verbalizing one territory, what that means for me is the initial territory and the option territory. So some people may look at that and define it as two territories. The way that we define that here at Floor Coverings International is that really is the target opportunity that we want our franchise owners to come in with, to embrace, and be ready to expand in. It's the territory and the option agreement, which might be defined as two territories. That is the target for our franchise owners.
Yeah, so that way, if they're doing really well, they can keep expanding out and they're kind of have a larger protected area.
For sure. And what I would add on that as well is, remember, my interest as the franchisor is I would rather have fewer franchisees running larger territories than many franchisees running smaller territories. Anytime a franchise owner here at Floor Coverings International is ready to expand, wants to grow, it is in my and our best interest to make sure we can help that franchise owner solve growth and expanding. We will find them more territory for sure. That is absolutely in my best interest.
That's great. Thank you for that. Thanks for clarifying.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, Tom, I'll tell you, I appreciate all the insights that you've shared with us today. I think as we think through this business of really pulling, you know, something that traditionally is sitting in a retail space into the truly home service, putting it right in the home, I think that makes sense. And I feel for me and Chris, we've learned a lot today, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. And for those of you listening, if you're considering franchise as a potential path to business ownership, remember, there's no one-size-fits-all franchise that suits everyone. Even so, there's certainly a franchise out there for you that's perfect. To explore the options and find the perfect match, please visit us at theperfectfranchise.com. By clicking on Let's Talk, you can schedule time to speak with a consultant on the Perfect Franchise team. We look forward to connecting with you again on our next episode. Until then, take care.